Welcome to Resiliency Redefined. I'm your host, Robin, and I am thrilled to share with you information about resiliency, well-being, performance, education, business, parenting, and everything in between. I'm committed to joining you each week to talk about these big ideas and bring them into action, habits, tools, strategies, tactics that allow us to finally uncover what it takes to truly be well. And I'm just so excited that you're here. Welcome back, everyone. This is Robin. I'm so excited for us to connect today on Resiliency Redefined. And I thought the big idea that we could unpack was something that I was able to kind of work through with a group that I just had a huge event with last week in Chicago. So I had the opportunity to be in Chicago for the American Veterinary and Medical Association. I think I just butchered that name, but essentially it was these amazing groups of people in veterinary medicine. We all gathered in Chicago. There was hundreds of folks. And I love the idea that we talked about in some of the work around high performers, which clearly our veterinary community are high performers. It's like we know better, but we don't always do better. So I thought today's episode could be all about the knowing doing gap, which is that space between knowing what we ought to be doing and should be doing, could be doing, and actually doing the thing. So I'm going to bring you some of these insights from, again, working with some really remarkable people about how do we look at this from a behavioral perspective. So to kick us off, I think it's so important to recognize that, yeah, we know a lot of what we, again, could be doing, should be doing, or ought to be doing. And then putting it into practice is a whole other ballpark. Okay, that's a whole other game. So how do we start to narrow that gap or bridge the gap? My first invitation is to acknowledge the fact that we aren't necessarily very good at it. We need to be able to acknowledge and recognize the fact that we know better, but we don't always do better. So then, once we kind of do a little bit of that self-awareness, I want us to get really curious about this, again, from a behavioral perspective, because every behavior that you are doing or essentially not doing serves a purpose. Every single decision, everything you do, it serves some purpose. So let's kind of unpack that. So let's say you decide to set your alarm in the morning for, let's say, 6 o'clock, and you're going to get up and you're going to go for a walk. And 6 o'clock rolls around. Okay, 6 o'clock rolls around, and then you hit snooze and you ended up staying in bed for like the extra hour. What is the real you? Who is the real you? Are you the one who set the alarm at 6 a.m. or are you the one who gets up or hits snooze or whatever? Who is you? Well, the reality, it's always you, but it's different behaviors or thoughts or practices that are being activated. So I like to think about it this way. The 6 a.m. setting the alarm, that's motivation, right? That's that spark of like, hey, I'm going to get something done. I want to start my day in a really active state. To be able to do it, I'm going to set an early alarm. That's motivation. Discipline is getting out of bed at 6 a.m. Okay, so discipline is getting out of bed at 6 a.m. and following through. And you might recall in an earlier episode, we talked about how do we improve our self-esteem or our self-efficacy in the most instrumental way? Be a person who does what they say they are going to do. That is the best way to strengthen our self-concept, to strengthen what we call self-trust. Be a person who does what they say they are going to do, because then you can rely on yourself. You have this like commitment to being a person who follows through. So does that mean every time that alarm goes off at 6 a.m. that we have to get up? The question, you know what? Maybe not. Now this might feel like a wee bit like, Robin, you literally just threw us a curveball. What are you talking about? If you aren't getting good rest and you're not sleeping well, My invitation for you is to focus on the sleeping well part of it. And if you aren't sleeping well, getting up and doing a hard workout, for example, is going to add more stress to your body. It's going to add more of that distress. So actually getting good rest is more important. So I think we need to be, again, this is that self-awareness piece. Setting your alarm in the evening, we want to be realistic with where we're at, what's the priority, and what's going on in our lives. Because so often I see folks who are literally like sustaining life in this like dumpster fire, right? They're janitors of craziness. And then they're like, oh, I'm going to sign up for a new CrossFit class, or I'm going to try this new diet, or I'm going to do this thing. And it's like, is this the time, right? Like if your world is feeling so overwhelming and things are so out of sorts, I don't know if that's the right season to add a really difficult task that requires such high levels of discipline versus creating some practices that are going to bring a wee bit more stability and groundedness and that feeling of being well-resourced and energized, which you're not going to get trying to hate yourself healthy. That's not where you're going to find those benefits. You're going to find them by dialing in your sleep routine, by being able to lean into some really good conversations with trusted people, like building your inner circle, being able to walk through this with, you know, the right people is going to make a better return on your investment than if you try to punish yourself into health or well-being. So again, the self-awareness of knowing like what makes sense right now, and again, what behavior or what purpose is this behavior trying to tell me, or is it trying to achieve? Okay, so here, let's take another example. Let's say you notice you're feeling really scattered and you're trying to bring in some like stillness or maybe a little bit more ease into your day, but then you notice your recovery behavior could be like chasing that dirty digital dopamine and you're like scrolling and maybe you're procrastinating. Okay, instead of meeting that with judgment, right? Like, oh my gosh, I'm so morally polluted. I just spent 2 hours scrolling. What if we met it with curiosity? What is it that that scrolling behavior is doing for you? Maybe it's like a pause button on adulthood. Maybe it's just this distraction of not wanting to like think for yourself, not wanting to make decisions, not wanting to like carry the heaviness of your day. It's serving a purpose. Or maybe, let's say if you notice you're scrolling, especially at the end of the day, it's just your body's way of trying to wind down. Now, it doesn't mean it's the best way to wind down, but it's like what you have in terms of the energy that you have to put in a wind down practice, that's as good as it's maybe going to get for you. Unless we look at it perhaps with a little bit more compassion, right? As we look at it and be like, okay, what is it that I'm really trying to achieve, or what is it that I'm looking for? Or maybe your scrolling is because you're actually looking for connection. You want to see that other people are also trying to figure this out and are stick handling busy, full, complicated days, experiences. Perhaps that could be it too. So just getting kind of curious. And if you notice, right, if you notice like, yeah, okay, wow, this is just about just wanting to pause, just wanting to block out the world, like forget about all the noise and that negativity. And I'm just going to like go down these rabbit holes. Okay. Can we do it in a way or structure it in such a way that you can get what your need is so it can be met, right? You can still meet your need, but perhaps not in a way that's going to like derail some of your goals or derail some of the things that you're actually wanting to do and to achieve. So here's an example. Maybe setting up some guardrails that you're not going to scroll in when you're in bed, right? Or scroll, for example, when you're watching TV or your favorite show at nighttime, trying to, decompress. And you've probably seen this like meme or the meme where it's like, you know, we spend all our day on looking at medium-sized screens and then we unwind by looking at larger screens while scrolling on the little screen, right? Or something to that effect. Again, maybe you set up some guardrails as to when you are going to do that behavior. Now, as a behaviorist, one of the things that I'm mindful of, just to give us a bit of clarity on this one, why is scrolling so like addictive? It's because it is on what we call an intermittent reinforcement schedule. So I'll give you an example. If you were to think of like scrolling, same as you think of like playing a slot machine, okay? It's this idea that you never know when you're going to get the win, or you never know when you're going to get that digital or that dopamine hit. So on our slot machines, it's a money reinforcer. And in the virtual world or on a screen, social media, it's like the laugh or the little nugget of knowledge, right? We don't even know what the incentive is, but there's something out there. And we just scroll and scroll and scroll until we find it. And sometimes we find it after 5 minutes of scrolling. Sometimes we find it after 75 minutes of scrolling. But eventually we kind of get to this moment where all of a sudden we get the hit, right? We get that thing that we're looking for. So what I want you to think about is the fact that because it is an intermittent reinforcement schedule, it's actually the hardest schedule to use to change behavior. Okay. Because if we, for example, knew that every 5 minutes of scrolling, you're going to get one good dose of dopamine, it would be pretty easy to stop it, right? Because then you'd be like, you know what? I want 3 hits of dopamine. I'm going to scroll for 15 minutes and we're good. It doesn't work like that because we never know when the hit's going to come. So understanding the schedule, like understanding or the lack thereof of a schedule, is really helpful to recognize what it is. So ultimately, why do we want dopamine? Dopamine feels good, right? And there's different ways we can get dopamine. Dopamine is the like acquiring hormone. Like we've acquired something, we finished something, we crossed a finish line. So if you think about it, you could get dopamine by finishing something on your to-do list, or you can get it by scrolling on the phone and like seeing a really fantastic puppet video. So what's your brain going to choose? What's the brain going to choose? Is it going to do the heavy work and I'll get a reward, or do something easy and I can get a reward? We're always going to lean towards that path of least resistance unless we're intentional, okay? Unless we set ourselves up for success. Now, somebody recently asked me, the digital dopamine hit that I get when I find something funny, let's say on social media, versus the dopamine I get when I finish a task, is it the same? And the reality is, it is. Yes. Our body doesn't differentiate between like, oh, this is like hard-earned, well-earned dopamine versus, wow, you found a little biohack and you're going to get a little bit of this. It's the same compound. It's the same as like when we look at cortisol, our bodies, so cortisol, the stress hormone, our bodies can't differentiate if it's like, wow, I've been chased by a tiger, right? And that's why my body's full of this cortisol. Or if I had 3 Zoom meetings back to back and had difficult conversations. Right? Our bodies can't differentiate, like, oh, this is good cortisol. This is just me doing my job versus I've been chased by a tiger. Helpful to know because, again, often we kind of structure this idea that like certain hormones are good and some are bad. But when we're talking about compounds like cortisol or dopamine, our body doesn't, it's not a moral issue. It's not like, ooh, this is the good stuff. This is the not so good stuff and how you got it. The reality is that you have it and we have to process it. If we want to feel better, if we want to be able to really understand our behavior. Okay, so I really hope that you're still with me so far on this idea. So, all behavior serves a purpose. A lot of times, we're going to find the behavior that gets us to the goal with the least amount of resistance. So, that's obviously why we perhaps do some behaviors that might be a wee bit more maladaptive than adaptive. But essentially, all our behavior is either helping us get closer to the goal, or it's hindering us based on the schedule, based on how close that reward is going to be. Okay, so how do we, circling back to the top of this episode, how do we decrease the knowledge doing delta or the knowledge doing gap? A, self-awareness. B, curiosity about what behaviors are present. And C is to get intentional. We want to set the intention. And that way, we have a game plan. Now, part of resiliency is being adaptive, that game plan can go out the window 100%. But the problem is, or the issue is, we've got to have the game plan to start. We don't want to be reactive to our days. We want to be in charge, right? We want to be ahead of all of these physiological and biological markers that are going to, again, help or hinder our progress. So, what does getting intentional look like? We need radical clarity on how it is that we want to feel. So, my friends, this isn't like goal setting. This is feeling setting. How do you want to feel today? So, when you wake up, Okay, or perhaps even you do this the night before, depending on what your flow state is. When you start your day, we want to just get clarity of how it is that you want to feel today. Do I want to feel well-resourced? Do I want to feel patient? Do I want to feel productive? Do I want to feel grounded? Do I want to feel energetic? So once you get some clarity on how is it that I want to feel, what we're going to do is structure our day in a way that make those feelings more available, that we like success is inevitable because we've designed our day to be like that. So let's say you want to be more productive, right? Gosh, with my workflow, I want to feel more productive. What would your day map look like? Well, number one, you want to start in a place of creating, okay? You want to start in a place of creating, not in a place of consuming. So if I want to be productive, I'm going to do my morning routine, which is predictable, it's consistent, and it makes me feel like I'm set up for my day, whatever your morning routine looks like. And then when I go into that productive window, I'm going to have a schedule of time on task. I'm going to like block out an hour, right? 55 minutes or an hour where I'm able to do the thing that I want to do. So I'm going to block out the noise. I'm going to block out the distractions. I'm not going to be definitely looking at email first thing in the morning if I want to be productive. What I want to do is get really clear on what I am able to do in this 60-minute work window. And what you're going to notice is that you could try to do that same task, let's say 60 minutes. You could try to do that off the edge of your desk or the side of your desk or in between meetings. It's going to take so much more energy to stay, quote, disciplined. It's going to take so much more effort to be able to get it done. And it's going to be a bigger drain on your cognitive energy versus if you just bookended and blocked a work window of time on task. So being really intentional. Now, I am a firm believer of like one good hour for a high performer with very little distractions sets you up for success. You can be more productive in that 1 hour than if you have, I think it was my bestie Jill Carr. She sent me a link and it was to a video called like, I think it was called Leaky Brain, where it's like, you're just kind of like going in all different directions and lots of different places and spaces. So again, trying to get really strategic. I believe 1 hour of time on task with a high performer is worth its weight in gold compared to a distracted 7 hours, right? A messy, distracted 7 hours, you're not going to get a good return on your investment. And what I have also learned, the more that we set up these like little work windows for optimal success, they become self-reinforcing, which means it feels so good to get it done, which means we won't need as much discipline in the future because it's going to be coming a place where we can readily get that feeling, which is feeling productive when we set up the environment correctly. Okay, so that's one example. Another example, and I can already imagine people saying, okay, well, what does that morning routine look like that you kind of glazed over? The morning routine is a structured practice that you do for you, and it's not selfish, it's science. It's creating this idea of predictability to start your day off, okay? And if you want to learn more about morning routines and habits, we can have a whole other episode about that. But the idea that I do want to get us started off here today in our time together, again, let's break down how do we start to minimize that knowledge and doing gap. One, self-awareness, B, curiosity, and intention. That will be a really great recipe to start you on the practice of feeling setting versus goal setting. Okay. Yes, those goals are out there, but if we want to make sure to get those goals and put ourselves onto that trajectory, we want to make sure that we have a plan, but we're also aware of the feeling. And I think those in combination are going to set us up for success. So my friends, thank you for joining me today. Again, if you have any questions, wonderments, curiosities, bring them. I would love, love, love to hear from you and how I could just maybe help carry some of these big ideas in a way that's a wee bit more sustainable. So thanks for listening. Take good care and I'll connect with you next time. Bye for now. thank you for spending time with this podcast episode today. I hope you found something helpful in Resiliency Redefined. Please feel free to share it with somebody who you might think could benefit. Maybe there was something useful, something in particular that you think you could pay forward. Also, if you have a moment, please feel free to rate and review this podcast wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. It means the world to me. And again, thanks for your time. Thank you for your interest. Take good care, and I'll see you next time.